Magandang umagang po sa iyong lahat. Ako po ay si Andre, and that's the extent that I will try to speak to you in Tagalog. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's such a privilege and an honor for Jamel, my wife, and Zara, our daughter, and I to be here with you today. My name is Andre, and I serve as one of the pastors at the Erbil Baptist Church in northern Iraq. Your brothers and sisters in Christ at our home church send you their warmest, their driest greetings. It's a dry heat over there. And they are grateful for the ways that you have prayed for and supported us in ministry so that we could serve them over there. There's a famous local saying that says, "We have no friends but the mountains." And it's a sad saying because it sums up this feeling that many of our local Kurdish friends have had, that they are alone, that they have nobody to help them, that there's nobody looking out for them, that all they have are the mountains. And maybe you feel the same way this morning. This morning, God is calling us to consider this question. Where do you look for help? Where does your comfort and security rest in this life? Psalm 121 calls us to look up to the Lord who watches over you. And my prayer for us today, Crossroads Church family, is that we would consider where we have been looking to for help and how it is God who helps or who watches over us. He is the only one worth looking up to. There's a main idea I want you to walk away with this morning. It's this: look up to the Lord who watches over you. Look up to the Lord who watches over you. And we're going to dwell on this main point in two specific ways. Firstly, our help comes from the Lord in verses 1 and 2. Our help comes from the Lord. And then secondly, the Lord watches over us, verses 3 to 8. Let's look at our first point. Our help comes from the Lord. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? So this psalm, as I just mentioned, is a song of ascents. It's a group of psalms, you know, Psalms 120 to 134. And this would have been one of the songs that the Israelites sung as they were journeying up towards Jerusalem, where they would worship God. You could say it was a part of the road trip music playlist for the pilgrims as they walked up to Jerusalem. And these were journeys of obedience that God called His people to. They would do this about three times a year for three important celebrations or feasts that God commanded in Exodus 23 as a part of their worship to Him. Now, going up to Jerusalem was a long, dangerous journey on foot. Now, they would have to travel from far away. And the dusty road was marked with slippery stones and caves, possibly where robbers would wait for those pilgrims so they could take their belongings, and possibly their lives as well. And depending on how long they took to walk, the pilgrims would also need to rest along the way through the night and continue on in the morning. Why does the writer look up to the mountains? It's not entirely clear from the passage. Was it because of how difficult the journey was? Was it because the mountains cause a sense of longing in the psalmist, this longing to be with God and His people there? Well, friends, one thing is very clear. The writer needs help as they make their way. They ask the question, where does my help come from? Who will help me on my journey toward God? Who will provide me with protection? Who will strengthen me for the task that he has called me on. Whatever the reason for lifting their eyes to the mountains, the psalmist speaks a biblical truth that sparks confidence and hope in them for the journey ahead. Verse 2 says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." The psalmist has placed their hope, their expectation of help from the Lord. The Lord is God who made a covenant with the people of Israel, taking them for himself, calling them to be set apart in how they lived in the world as a reflection of him. And he's the God who took the Israelites out of their slavery in Egypt. He led them through the desert and into Canaan, the promised land. And it's this same God who journeyed with his people before that would help them in their journey up to Jerusalem so they could be with him. Now, it could have been easy for the people to just look for help within themselves, to have greater willpower or mental toughness. Or they could have placed their hopes in the resources available to them. You know, perhaps fellow pilgrims they were traveling with, or the personal supplies of food, water, and shelter. They could have listed those other things down, and then verses 1 and 2 would have been much longer. But instead, they've chosen to look to the Lord for help. He is the maker or the creator of heaven and earth. The ground they were walking on, the city they were journeying to, the mountains they had lifted their eyes to, it was all his. It is all his. Who better to trust than the one who made the mountains himself? And much like the psalmist's journey up to Jerusalem, filled with uncertainty, fear, anxiety, possibly loss, friends, we who believe in Jesus are also on a journey of our own as we make our way upward to our Heavenly Father. Every day is some kind of step, either forward or backward. Or perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you're not a Christian. Firstly, I and the elders here and the members here are very glad that you are here this morning. Maybe you're investigating Christianity and you're surprised to hear that all Christians are on a journey. Friend, the reality is we are all on a journey, you included, even if you're not in Christ. Another reality is we all need help. Much like the psalmist, an important question for us to consider: where do you look for help, friend? Where do you find yourself looking up to? Is it you? You made your way to Dubai, so possibly you have a sense of self-reliance. I made it out of the Philippines. I'm here. Is it your own willpower and strength? Is it your sufficiency? Is it in your resources, the money in your account? Is it in your job? Is it in the people you know, or the connections, or the wasta that you have? Those would be helpful to live. But I think we all know those could ebb and flow over the course of this life. You could lose your job the next day. You could lose your money in an instant. Your contacts that would pick up your phone so quickly, they might even forsake you. Crossroads, where we look to for help could ultimately make or break us. But the Lord, he offers his children heavenly help. The maker of heaven and earth is as faithful as the promises he makes to his children. And so while people might come and go, resources might go up and down, contracts might expire and never get renewed, the Lord will be the constant in your life. Crossroads Church family, how can we grow in looking up to the Lord? How can we deepen in being disciples of Jesus? I have two practical ways for us. Firstly, look up to him in prayer. Are you excited to pray? If someone told you it's time to pray, how many of you are actually excited when you hear that there's a prayer meeting or there's a time of concentrated prayer? Does it feel like a task? The pastor looked at me, I have no choice but to pray. Prayer is the means by which we can communicate with God. As one theologian says, to be a Christian without prayer is to be alive without breathing. When we close our eyes, when we bend our knees, when we look up to Him, He is not far away. And when we do this, we're breathing and we're gaining more and more life as He encourages us in prayer. Prayer is that spiritual discipline that humbles us before the Lord. In Psalm 34:4, David says, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. As we pray, we're reminded of who alone can answer our requests. Who alone we should give thanks to. Who alone we can cry out to. Who alone is with His children from the beginning to the end. In praying to God, we are looking up. And prayer helps us deal with our hearts, which are so prone to self-reliance. Friends, how is your heart towards seeking God in prayer this morning? How is your personal times of prayer this past week? How often do you pray for yourself, for your fellow members, and the lost? How often do you guys pray together? And if you know someone who is struggling, don't hesitate to pray for them. Help them to look up to God as you pray with them and remind them of who He is from the Word. It's a discipling opportunity as you bring the Word forth in prayer, and it's an evangelistic opportunity if you have a friend who is not even a believer. So friends, press on to be a church that prays individually and with one another. A second way to grow in looking up is to look up to Him in His Word. God has given His Word so that we might be equipped for all that this life brings. And that's why we should look up to Him in His Word. Just like how old, you know, sometimes Facebook brings up memories. If you guys still use Facebook, I know I do. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's embarrassing, and you hope no one sees that memory. But this is my point. God's Word, as we look at God's Word, it allows us to see the many ways that He's been faithful to His people in the past. How He has never failed to keep His promises thus far. And as we see God's work in and among men and women of old, we're reminded of His unchanging character. We're reminded of His faithfulness. That our Maker, who made the heavens and the earth, He has always been and He always is faithful. And it gives us reason to trust Him. So friends, let's continue to meditate and read God's Word regularly. And I want to encourage you to seek opportunities to disciple one another in the Word one-to-one. Find a fellow member that you can open your life with. Find someone you can celebrate the victories with. Find someone you can confess your sins to as you both look up to Him in the Word. And my fellow elders here, brothers, God's Word is sufficient for the task that He has called us to. And we just have to keep trusting for God to work through His Spirit as we preach, as we shepherd the flock God has placed us on. Would God's voice and His Word be loudest in our shepherding? Friends, where do you look to for help? Like the psalmist, look up to the Lord who watches over you. The psalmist moves now from declaring the Lord as their help to considering the ways He does this. How exactly does the Lord watch over or keep His people? Let's look at our second point. The Lord watches over us in verses 3 to 8. Notice now the shift in perspective. The psalmist is looking up and he's now listing how God will care and protect them on the journey towards Jerusalem. We'll see how God, or how the Lord, watches, protects, and preserves. Let me read that section. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. How many hours of sleep do you need? 4? 8? 12? Or if you're a teenager, 15? The fact is, we become limited in our ability to function if we don't get enough sleep. I was reminded of this of all too well when my wife, Jamel, when we first had Zara. There's photos of me yawning and looking like I was holding on for dear life. You know, in some Near Eastern religions, it was normal to believe that a god might be sleeping. And as some humans needed rest and sleep, so also the pagan gods needed rest and sleep as well. They couldn't keep awake. They needed their beauty sleep. One god was having a long rest, and then he was awoken by human beings that needed his help. What did this god do? He decided to send them a famine as punishment for waking them up. But the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, he never slumbers nor sleeps. He is always watching. In 1 Kings 18, Elijah confronts the prophets of Baal. They were to cry out to their gods. Whoever was the first to have their sacrifice burned would prove that their God was the true and only God to be followed. So you had the prophets of Baal cry out, dancing around the sacrifice from morning till afternoon, but there was no answer. Shout louder, surely he is a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought or busy traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. Baal did not answer. But not so with the Lord God. He is never tired. I want you to think about how tired you might be now. I'm looking at some of you. God is never tired. He never slumbers nor sleeps. Can you just imagine that? Well, this God eventually answers Elijah's request to display his power. He is always watching. Are you wearied by the weight and the worries of this world? Do you find yourself tired in faith this morning? Have your steps been staggered for the journey ahead? Do you find that you don't even have the strength to look up to the Lord? Strength to behold Him in prayer and in His Word? Friend, take heart. Look up to the Lord who watches over you. Isaiah 40 says this, He who gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. The Lord will make sure that none of His people will slip. Every step we take, whether quick or difficult, He ensures that our feet will have firm places to step on. He doesn't just watch us. He also protects us, as verses 5 and 6 says. Most soldiers would hold their shield with their left hand so they could use their stronger right hand to wield their sword. This would leave the right side exposed to attacks from the enemy. And while they might have the weapons that they need to protect themselves, the Lord would ultimately be their shade or their shield where they were weakest. And so the threats of the day nor the dark of the night would harm them. And so it is with us this morning, Crossroads Church family. The Lord has given us pilgrims all that we need for our journey to Him. He won't just protect us, He'll preserve us. The Lord will preserve His people. Verses 7 to 8. How confident are you that the Lord will preserve you? Well, the psalmist is confident that the Lord preserves His pilgrims and that they will reach Him in safety in Jerusalem. And He would not just preserve them for that journey, but also into eternity, watching over them, being with them, both now and forevermore. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in a far more closer way this morning, believers experience the Lord's help like no other. In John 14, 16, Jesus says that the Father will send His people a helper, the Holy Spirit, the second person of the Godhead. And God's Spirit Himself comes into the heart of every believer and gives us all the help that we need for our travel to Him. Why does He send His Spirit to help us? Well, He says there in John 17, He wants for His people to be where He is and to see His glory. God doesn't just want you to continue staying in Dubai. He wants you to come to Him. Perhaps you're wondering this morning, if God is with all believers, maybe you're wondering, does this mean Christians will never experience harm or suffering in this world? There's some false teachers out there that will tell you that you don't have to suffer because Jesus suffered already for you. And that's false. Verse 7 of our psalm says that the Lord will keep you from all harm. But we know that the reality is the people of God have suffered both back then and even now. And if you look at the bigger picture of God's Word, we know that suffering is a part of our journey. If we look at just Psalm 120, the psalm right before today's passage, the psalmist is lamenting there. They're crying out to the Lord that they are suffering because of the evils they face in a foreign land. Or consider Joseph, who was thrown into the pit by his brothers and sold off into slavery. Or even Daniel, who was thrown in the den of lions for refusing to bow down to an idol. Some of us in this room are suffering. Difficulties at work. Perhaps you have no work. Maybe you're struggling with the relationships that you have. Perhaps you don't have enough to live for the day to provide for your family. That's a reality for some people in our church back home. Perhaps you're facing abuse and persecution in various ways. Perhaps you feel like your foot has slipped many times this past week, maybe even this past year. And it feels like, though you were trying to look up to God, He's not watching you. Perhaps you felt like giving up. Friends, though we suffer, our souls will not be lost. In the Hebrew of verse 7 in today's passage, it says that the Lord will watch over your soul. Crossroads, what comes into our lives is all a part of God's plan. It doesn't mean we will not struggle with this. Many of us will have questions for the Lord that can only be answered in eternity. Some of us might get our answers now and sooner. Some of us have to wait. And though we don't understand what or why there are things that happen in this life, the Maker of heaven and earth, The one who is our help knows what he is doing. He is aware of all things, even the tiniest details of our lives. And the Apostle Paul understood this in his suffering for the gospel. He says in 2 Corinthians 4, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." Paul knew that though they were being broken on the outside in various ways, God was still at work, and Christ was being shown in their lives as they followed him through hardship. Church family, when you persist as a Christian in the midst of hardship in the city of Dubai, you display Christ. When you persist in the difficulties of life and you show that you are seeking to trust Christ no matter what, you honor Christ. When a potter sits down at the wheel and takes his clay, do you think he just lets the clay decide what it wants to be? Friend, he has it planned in his hands. God is a divine potter. There is no plan B. He knows exactly what he is forming out of his children as he journeys with us through the joys and through the trials of this life. And we can be comforted even now that if it is God who upholds all things in this life, we can have strength for today and for tomorrow. We can take it one day at a time. And this holding, it's providence. It's God's providence. How can this encourage you? How can this encourage you knowing that God holds all things? Well, listen to what the Heidelberg Catechism says. It says that we may be patient in adversity or difficulty. We may be thankful in prosperity. And that in all things that happen to us, we can place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are in his hand, and without his will, nothing moves. And the song says, "When trials come, no longer fear, for in our pain, our God draws near to fire a faith worth more than gold, and there his faithfulness is told." And James 1 says this, James 1, 2-4, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And friends, my greatest encouragement to you this morning, as you think about suffering, we can persist in suffering because we have a Savior who suffered. We have a Savior who himself had to take that long, lonely journey up to Jerusalem. He had to walk that path, carrying that cross as people looked on him and watched him. There were many around him, but he was alone. And there on lonely Calvary, Jesus was lifted up to die for sinners like you and me. Sinners who did not seek his help. Sinners who were self-sufficient, bent on making their own way to God, on their own terms, by their own efforts. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, I urge you to place your trust in Christ. He is all the help that you need for life and eternity. There is a far, far greater suffering that outweighs what troubles us in this life. And it's the eternal suffering that a sinner faces under God's just judgment. Apart from Christ, you're on a journey to God all by yourself. But it's not into his everlasting kingdom. It's into his everlasting judgment. And for us believers, friends, our hope is not simply in that Jesus died for sin, but he rose again. He conquered and broke the chains of sin and death through the cross. And as he ascended to the Father, they have sent the Holy Spirit to help his children. And one day, friends, one day, Jesus will return to help his pilgrims on that final leg home. One day there will be no more Crossroads Church of Dubai, because Christ himself will come to collect his people. If there's one mountain to look up to, friends, consider where Jesus was lifted up and crucified. Have you considered his wounds? Have you considered his suffering? That is what our sin cost. How is it that the sinless one would hang to die in the place of sinful men and women? It's only through Jesus that we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence. It's only through him that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He is that stream of mercy that leads to that never-ending ocean of God's love. That's what one theologian says. And it is he, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, it is he that we should fix our eyes on. Hebrews 12. Brother, sister, where do you look to for help? Look up to the Lord who watches over you. Let's pray. Father, who else can we turn to for help? We need your help every day, more and more, as this world and our flesh draws us to find help in other places. As we behold the evils that we face around us and within us, how wonderful that you are the guardian of our souls. Though the waves may threaten to crash over us, you will hold us through our anchor in the storm. You watch over us so faithfully, and you've promised yourself that you will keep us. You will never slumber or sleep. In one day, we won't have to look up anymore, because we will see you fully face to face. We thank you that in Christ alone, we have all that we need for our journey to you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.